I want you to put your hands together.
There goes the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes the neighborhood.
Welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast, episode, what do we say?
46.
Thank you. You need to start doing this shit. I can't remember anything. My brain is not working.
Now, this has been like a little 2 or 3 day trend.
Yeah.
I've been hanging out with you the last couple days, and your memory is shot.
I'm telling you. I don't know
what's happening. We worked at Time Warner together, and
we had
his daughter, Camden, ran into a guy we used to work with yesterday.
Well, he worked there. That's the difference.
Right.
Like, I named every guy that we worked with.
Yeah, when we say work with,
yes,
that is a loose term.
Yeah, there's a lot of dudes that we never saw.
Right.
Or rarely.
And but the guy I was trying to think of, I was having a little brain fart too, but at least I could see the guy.
Yeah, I couldn't see the guy.
And I kept trying to tell
By the way, yeah, I sent her that picture. She replied, no, that was not him. that came in the restaurant.
This is a Time Warner ghost.
We were talking about doing Mandela effect shit because
yes,
it's like this dude. Even the guy that we know that did work with us that we know well and I still talk to quite a bit, he didn't know. Remember, I sent Joe.
He still works there.
He still works
both
there.
Both of them still work there.
And he's like, I don't know who you're talking about.
And we were like giving him all the vitals of this guy.
Exactly.
He's roughly 5'8". You know, it was just crazy.
Anyway, so but, yeah.
So your memory has been a little suspect.
I've just been scatterbrained for the last couple of days. I don't know why. I can't remember anything. So I don't even know. Where are we at? What are we doing?
Well, I'll say this. I'm going to get to that. I'll say this. I think your book's coming along good, man.
Yeah, well, that's where my head's at.
I was going to say that, you know, Chris went through a little, he went through a point where he was trying to end his book in a certain way.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Then when he ended it that way and he was looking at his word count and then he goes back and says, well, I need a little bit more words. I'm going to try to maybe fatten up what I already have. And then he kept going, you know, nah, yeah. I can't fatten it anymore.
Without adding filler, which you don't want to do.
Yeah, he didn't want to just put a lot of fluff in there. So he said, okay, screw it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the idea I had to have a couple books, put it in one book.
Right.
And it's kind of opened up this floodgates of new material for me to read.
Yes.
And it's really good, man. It's coming along really good.
And that's where that's the thing. That's where my brain's been, because now I feel like I'm, for some reason, in a rush. You know what I mean? Where I felt like I was there, and now I was just going to get the beta readers and the feedback and the editing, you know, and get all this stuff done. I got cover art, for Christ's sake, I can't show yet. I mean, I guess I technically could, but I'm not. And so now I'm like, well, shit, I got another, you know, 30,000, 40,000 words. And it's come along fast.
It really is.
Because I'm really trying to hyper-focus on it, but I'm getting kind of burnt out, you know, just more, even though I'm lit, like, because when I go to sleep, my brain is in that world, like thinking of things. Like I thought of little minute details last night. It was like, oh yeah, that's cool. Let me add that. And I didn't do shit today. It was one of those days I ain't done shit because it was just one of those days.
Well, I could see that. I mean, because you do have to escape to another world when you write yours.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm just recalling things that I might already be thinking about during the day anyway, just a memory. You know, so I don't have to like delve into a different world and then come back to reality or anything. It's all there. So I could see it because it seems like 80%, 90% of the time I hit you up, you're writing.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you read up until, like you said, that original endpoint, and now you've read what, 4 or 5 more chapters?
4 or 5 more at least. I was thinking 5.
So
yeah.
Like full chapters. I mean, not all of them are extremely long, but still. Like going through this outline, so that, and then on top of that, I'm trying to, you know, I've got this part-time job, apparently, I found out today, this little online thing. It's a contract position for Microsoft, actually, but it's not like a high-end type thing, and I don't know how it's going to go, and it was bugging the shit out of me anyway.
Yeah, and I'm the one that looks like I just came from a job interview. no, I just came from a funeral.
Yeah.
My own.
Right.
I feel like I'm at this weird crossroads. I always am dramatic about everything, but it feels like I'm starting over and don't want to. It's like I'm kicking and screaming, but
yeah,
you know, yep. Fate freaking demands it, you know, sometimes.
Absolutely. It's just been a weird, I don't know, last couple of days have been weird.
Well, I've got my...
Trying to figure out the same... It's the same old story. I don't want to rehash
it. It is.
It's the same old story, but it just... I can't get any clarity on shit except for this book. That's the only thing. But then when I'm, you know, I write for a while and then it's just me and Riddick. And then do I want to... You know, when you don't get in the mood, then do I need to do a video on this? Why? Because it's going to get 800 views and I'm not going to make any money, so I just need to go get a job. So now I got a job. And so there we go. So that's what's happening.
Who's the dude that plays Deadpool?
Ryan Reynolds. See, I remembered a name.
Wow. And now, have you seen the movie where his cats and dogs start talking to him?
No, but that reminds me. I wanted to watch that movie where he's in the video game world. There's a new one. I don't know if it's out yet. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't know that one, but... But yeah, when you said I quit writing and then it's just me and Riddick, and I'm like picturing Riddick start talking to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know. Wish you could sometimes.
Yeah, that's I highly recommend that movie. I don't know why I can't think of the name of it right now, but yeah, he ends up being really crazy.
Yeah, you reminded me of that new movie that was supposed to be released in theaters, and then COVID happened, and it's going to get a release on Amazon, and it got pushed back. So I think it may be now, but it could be like in November or something. But he plays like a character where he lives in this world, and he plays the same role every day, almost like a groundhog thing, except for like in a video game. But it don't look like a video game. It's like the real world.
Which would obviously be what happened if you were stuck in a video game.
Yeah, so like he goes outside, there's stuntmen, there's explosions, and it's all normal. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden he decides to take action. And it looks pretty cool, pretty funny. So anyway, I need to look that up.
Yeah, imagine.
Before we get started, we want to thank our newest Patreons. We have two new Patreons supporting the podcast. Thank you so much to Nancy T.
Nancy.
Really appreciate it, Nancy T. And Brian Jettleson. Thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate it. Anyway, so we got, I don't know how we started this. We saw a clip of another podcast that I watched a couple times. But what actually started the topic? You saw something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it showed up, was recommended, and it was a guy... Because, you know, you teased that we were going to be doing this podcast sometime.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a guy who was saying that Helen Keller was a fraud.
Right.
And it just, I mentioned it to him. It got our gears turning, and we thought, you know, I've never really put much thought into Helen Keller.
It feels so random. Yeah. But, like, there's when you start thinking about it and kind of go back and kind of relearn what you learned in, I don't know, grade school.
Right.
About how she learned, it's like, I don't know if no matter how intelligent she actually was, it's not taking away anything from her accomplishments or anything or whatever in the sense of, you know, what she was capable of. We don't really know. The point being is, I guess the question is, how does somebody that's deaf, blind, and mute learn how to speak at all?
Right.
Without any, because we're not talking about somebody who was blind up until, say, let's 10 or 15, and they have references and they can remember, they have memories of things and, you know, all that stuff and sounds. So it's when you start thinking about it, it's like, so there's people out there that say that she was basically a puppet.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, she's just a blip on your radar in the scheme of things. If you didn't, say, draw her name out of a hat or have to write a paper about her or something, you just hear about her.
Right.
Briefly in school, because you know how it is. You have some teachers who are interested in a person. So you're in a third grade class and your friends are in another third grade class. Well, you come out of third grade knowing about Helen Keller more than they do because your teacher's into them.
Right,
you
exactly.
Know? So if you don't have one of those teachers or you didn't write a paper about her in high school or something or do a book report, she's just a blip. You hear, yeah, you, oh, there's
you know,
this.
You know the name, yeah. And you know a few things, and you
she's
know,
blind and deaf, and accomplished a lot of things.
Wrote like 11 books, I think, and part of the suffrage movement and all that stuff, yeah. 1920s. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But
and you just want to go home and watch Thundercats. You know, I don't care about that. When I, you know, the pictures are black and white, which always bored me when I was a kid.
That was a turnoff. That was a turnoff for any kind of modern history where there were photographer or photographs.
And the teacher is so enthusiastic about it, but putting these pictures up, and you're like, oh,
that's another crazy thing about, we always touch on this somehow or another, about the age thing and, you know, this generation and stuff, is now, man, there's nothing cooler than looking through history and black and white photos and seeing horses and carriages and the first cars. Like, our own town is really cool. I've seen some cool-ass pictures of our own town back in, like, the 20s and 30s. That shit's crazy. The same place that we drive through now.
You realize it's really not that long ago in the scheme of things.
No, it's not. It's literally a blip.
When your kid is like, wow, don't bring that old shit out.
What is that? Because I still joke with my mom about being born in the 1800s and shit. You know, I do.
You always had the photo albums at home. Yeah. All your photos would be in color and shit. Yeah. And your parents are black and white. You got those, like, yeah,
exactly.
Old.
Exactly.
You're old as hell.
And now we're...
old as Helen Keller. And,
So, yeah, I mean, I didn't remember. I knew the basics, so I watched a few videos. We watched that clip. You got a little rundown, because James does it professionally over here. He's a professional podcaster.
I got me some notes. I watched several videos and then did some looked online. Wikipedia was the source of a lot of this stuff. Yep. And then the videos I watched. Helen Keller, she was born in 1880, and she lived all the way to 1968. And she actually died, it says, June 1st, 68.
Right.
My sister was born June 1st, 78. So, like, Helen Keller and my sister are only just 10 years apart.
Yeah, that's
my younger
sister. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Like we were mentioning the Egypt thing last night.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Cleopatra, we mentioned, who's lived closer to the moon landing than the building of the pyramids.
Let's take a pause real quick.
Yeah, oh, well, wait a minute.
Looked at pictures of the damn pyramids? He has ruined.
I know.
Chris has ruined Egypt for me.
I'm sorry.
I used to want to fly over there.
Because it ruined it for me, and I had to spread my pain.
I wanted to dang fly over there, get on a Jeep, drive way far out into the desert, then from the Jeep, jump on a camelback and go many, many miles to go see the pyramids. And turns out there's an interstate, like,
10 seconds.
A football field away from the pyramids.
You can take a taxi there. Just walk.
What in the hell? Do yourself a favor. Look up the pyramids and how close they are to the city.
Just Google Cairo, Egypt.
That's mind-blowing.
And because, I found this out years ago, and because we had talked about it at some point a long time ago. I remember something about it. But we were talking about that shit last night, and we pulled those pictures up. It just ruins it, man.
It really does,
because, I mean, it's like right there. It's like literally when you see the pictures, you see the desert. It looks like Tatooine back there.
Right.
And you're picturing like all these ancient things and, you know, because, I mean, there are different parts of Egypt, obviously. It's not all right there in Cairo.
You did not ever picture an archaeologist digging with highway traffic in the background.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what's happening.
So do yourself a favor. If you're like me and didn't really realize that,
yeah, how close,
look at those pictures. It really will let you
basically
down.
They never take the camera and turn it around.
That's all they have
to do. But you see the aerial shots, and it kind of ruins it. I mean, city's fine. It's fine, but it's just not what you pictured.
No.
Every place is like that, though. Every one of them.
I told him they just need to open a casino in one of them.
But then we got on to... because we're old cable guys, so we like to reminisce about, you know, we're still in some old groups. One's called Cable Gods.
Yes.
And we got into...
As a cable guy, first off, you can't watch a movie.
No,
you can't ride down any road without noticing cable.
You can't. You notice the lines, the drops, the what's wrong, what's right. You just can't.
I got one specifically. You know the video of the guy going... why are you always lying? That video.
Why are you always lying?
Yeah. It's a black dude singing beside a house. The house behind him, there's wires run all down and hanging, and it just looks like, you know, we would have gotten in trouble. Quality control would have got us if we'd have left it like that. But it's stuff like that. You can't watch videos, movies, or whatever without noticing.
I think that's so what it was. We were pulling, we were looking at Cairo pictures, and I said, "Oh, by the way, have you? I meant to show you this. Have you seen?"
Yes.
And it was India's and their telephone poles, essentially. They're, it's crazy.
What a nightmare!
Like there's no regulation. They can just hang whatever, you know. And you got telecom. You got, and they do. They have telecom workers that have to work in this shit. The telecom, cable, power, all the different services, whatever, and they just sling them up on top of each other. They hook wires to wires. They jump off other things. I mean, it's
insane.
Dude
was not even strapped off in the one picture. He's just leaning from the pole over onto the building.
It's absolutely insane. So
I don't know how
we, how we got on this side ramp, but yeah, this is what we think about. Yes. This is the conversations we have.
We definitely go in depth, and we try to pull some cool things out of those conversations to bring to you. And this one, I think will leave you scratching your head, at least thinking a little more than you ever have about.
Yeah. It seems like so odd and strange, but when you sit down and think about it, yeah, it just makes you question it.
So she, like I said, was born in 1880, and she was normal until she contracted a high fever at 19 months old. Now I watched an interview with her with a biographer of hers who said that at the time they called it brain fever, and she never really figured out, you know, what it was, whether it was like meningitis or scarlet fever or whatever, but the doctors seemed to refer to it as brain fever back then.
Maybe that's what I have, brain fever.
She said, let's see, after 5 years of, because the fever made her blind and deaf.
Yes.
And after 5 years of being blind and deaf, her parents hired this teacher who had just graduated the school because the teacher was from the school of the blind, right? She has sight problems. She's partially blind herself, named Ann Sullivan.
Right.
And so she came to teach Helen because the parents said she was really wild, like an animal almost. But if you think about it,
yeah,
she has
no
way to express anything and doesn't know how or why to express.
That's right. There's no, in 19 months, you can't, you're older. There's no memories of visions.
Yeah.
There's no memories of sounds, and you can't speak. I mean, I can't imagine that.
You just feel people touching you, and sometimes it's comfortable, and sometimes
they're
like grabbing you and trying to make you do things.
Right.
It's so odd if you really start to think about what it would be like to be in pitch black silence.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah.
So basically, the Ann Sullivan, her first lessons were how to use silverware and eat properly. And that was a big deal for the parents because evidently she came from money. And her parents, you know, their parents' friends were saying, you know, send her away. She's kind of a lost cause. And so they had the teacher come stay with her, and she had a real fit. If you watch the movie of her life, there's a scene where she's trying to eat some breakfast, like scrambled eggs or something, and Helen Keller is just trying to shove them in her mouth with her hand, and she keeps... Anyway, it's a trip. I mean, she's like to be seven or whatever it was at the time, she's probably like dealing with a spoiled brat two-year-old.
Right.
In this movie.
A temper tantrum.
Temper tantrum,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then she taught her the word doll by spelling it in the palm of her hand. But I wrote a note here.
Doll.
Yep. And it says the water pump was a huge breakthrough.
Yeah, that's what I got from the little stuff I watched, was there was some breakthrough water pump thing.
Yeah, the old style pumps you would have outside your house where you collected water outside.
Right.
That's where she taught her like what water was, and basically it was a way, I think, to disassociate that it was in a mug. Like, I'm telling you what water is, and she'd have her put her hand under there and pump the thing, and then put Helen's hand on her mouth while she mouthed the word water, and then put it back under the thing. And
so she was apparently associating the word water that she had learned from touching her mouth
her
and feeling her throat and all that whole thing, mm-hmm. feeling nostrils and throats and shit, to a mug,
yes.
a cup, or a whatever she was getting water in. Yeah.
And there was a big breakthrough there. But it says, the Ann Sullivan became partially blind herself at the age of 5. So she was 20 when she started teaching Helen. So she's 14 years older than Helen.
Right.
Okay. It says they remained together for 49 years.
That's a long time.
The teacher, Sullivan, married a guy named John Macy in 1905. And Helen lived with those two. But Sullivan's health started declining around 1914. Then a lady named Polly Thompson was hired as a housekeeper and stayed as Helen's companion until she herself died in 1960. So it says that Helen Keller was holding Ann Sullivan's hand when she passed away. But I thought this was interesting. When Helen Keller was in her 30s, she tried to elope with a guy named Peter Fagan. He was a reporter who came to the house her private secretary while Sullivan was sick.
Oh.
And evidently Helen pitched a fit about this, wanting to marry this dude.
Oh. Helen.
And Winnie Corbley was her final caregiver, because it's like this weird thing. Like, so her first caregiver gets sick. A lady steps in to help out with the sick lady. She ends up taking the role of caregiver. And then for the last 8 years of Helen's life, the nurse who came to care for the second health provider ended up staying with her till she died.
Yeah, so you had a string of people up in there.
Yeah, it's like everybody that stuck around.
Yeah, ended up staying.
Because she was a cash cow for everybody.
I mean,
we're going to get to that.
Yeah, I think so. Jesus. Yeah, but, I mean, what other conclusion can you draw from that?
Right.
I mean, there's a reason they're staying.
So it says she wrote, in her lifetime, she wrote anywhere between 12 and 15 published books and several articles. And her first one she wrote at 11, called The Frost King.
Right.
Ended up being proven to be plagiarized, but
oh, that's right,
unintentional. They said at some point, you know, she wrote it at 11, but at some point, because they said once Helen Keller learned Braille, she was a voracious reader,
right?
And either she read this book or it was read to her in a school, and it was called her book was called The Frost King. But the book she plagiarized was called The Frost Fairies.
I thought you were going to say The Night King.
And
yeah, I mean, come on, man.
But evidently, Helen lost a lot of respect from a lot of people when it was proved that it was plagiarized.
Okay, so even during her lifetime then, she had some controversy about this type of shit. So I don't feel so bad talking about it.
Right. But it said supposedly it broke her heart. Like, she went back and read The Frost Fairies, saw how similar it was.
Right.
But said, you know, if I ever heard it, it must have been lost in my mind, because when I wrote The Frost King, I swore it was my own story.
Yeah. I mean, look, I get that to a degree.
That happens.
I'd get, you know, a lot of similar things that you think's original, but a whole book?
I know.
I don't know about a whole book.
And it's so...
And then calling it The Frosty Man, Frosty the Snowman,
yeah,
too.
Frost. That's weird.
Come on.
It says she eventually wrote her autobiography at like when she was 21 years old. And then later after that, she wrote books about how it feels to be her. So I think those would be, if I ever read a book.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That would be what I would be interested in.
Exactly.
You know, what is it like to be me?
Yeah, can she describe that accurately?
Good
which
question.
Which kind of goes to the core of this whole thing. Can she actually describe it where we could understand it?
In September of 64, she was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Lyndon Johnson. And in 65, she was entered into the National Women's Hall of Fame. In her life, she traveled the world giving speeches, helped improve Braille, and
right,
helped get other blind kids education that they needed. So that's all I wrote as just like a backstory for her. And then, you know, I just wrote a couple things here because we're going to get into the our thoughts on things.
Yeah, so, I mean, because it's an, you know, at the surface level, without thinking anything, I mean, it's inspirational either way. It's an inspirational story.
Yes, it is.
A woman who was born and then basically born blind. I mean, not enough time to have any, that's the whole point, or a frame of reference for anything.
Right.
And then becomes this, you know, huge character who changes a lot of things, does a lot of things for women's movement and the NAACP back in the day and all the stuff she did and wrote all these books. But the question that comes up in these little podcasts we've seen and some of these other videos and stuff is, and apparently there's a lot of them out there, we didn't have time to go through a lot of them, is with the technology, I guess one of their main points was even now in today's technology, there's been nobody like her. But apparently there was somebody apparently before her who also learned to talk and stuff, but I didn't even get into that because that's a whole nother subject. They were saying that was found to be fraud.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
But I don't know who they're referencing, so I don't want to speak on it. But nobody since has either. And with today's technology, and as far you know, come so far with medical technology and all this kind of stuff, that nobody's done it. So the question is, if you have no frame of reference, because the one little video we watched, where she has one of her quotes, and what was the word that she used?
It was an inspirational quote.
It was an inspirational quote that's used to describe, you know, one of the things that you would read when you're reading about her.
Yes.
So anyway, this quote was, I got it right here just to make sure I'm not misquoting. Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. Great inspirational quote.
Yeah.
The point that she brought up in this video, this girl who was doing this video, was, how can she describe optimism? Because she can learn, like I think we agree she can learn water and hot and cold and associate.
Hungry.
That are kind of, you know, basic, or you can almost, because I remember some story, maybe it was a Helen Keller thing, where it was some movie, I think, or something, where they taught a blind girl or maybe a dude, I don't even remember, colors. With like red, they used heat to describe red.
Yeah,
and cold was
that
blue.
That was in that movie Mask.
Oh, Rocky Mask. Dennis. Rocky. Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
His girlfriend was blind.
That's right. That's right. We talked about Mask a couple times.
Cotton was white. He was like, "This is white." Lettuce or something like that was green, and then, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me.
Me too.
But the girl made a good point in this video we watched. Optimism. How do you teach a complex feeling like optimism as a word? Like, she can feel it. She can feel optimistic or hopeful, but how does she describe that?
I know. And it says she's the first blind deaf to get a bachelor's of arts degree.
Right.
So obviously, if she actually did earn that degree, then she's really smart.
Yeah.
But I'm stuck on this thing that if she was 16 and lost her sight and her hearing, it would be so much easier to understand. Or 10 years old.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, easy. It wouldn't even be a question.
Right, but to never have any memories that you weren't in the dark and totally quiet, I don't buy that. Like he said, I think it's basic survival skills you learn and words and things like that. Once somebody teaches you that, because they are doing this in her hand.
Or
she's what? Feeling their face.
She's doing the face thing. There's one of two ways. She's doing the face thing where there's a finger on the nostrils. There's a finger on the lips. There's one, her thumb is on your right at your larynx, mm-hmm. where she can...
Oh, that was the G's.
Pick up the sound, yeah, the vibrations, yeah. The way she put it. And so that way is the way she learned the words. And she would repeat them when they did that. But other thing was when she would tell her things, they had this thing where she's basically doing this spelling, supposed to be spelling letters in her hand. And that's how she would recite things. But when they showed the video, you can see the actual footage, it don't look like anything, actually.
No.
It's not like you can see, okay, A, you know, E, F. It looks like a literally it's kind of this.
I know,
and
man.
I'm like, I don't.
And so I'm thinking, know. Yeah, like, I think it would be an amazing accomplishment if she just lived a absolute, decent, comfortable absolutely. Life. You don't have to oversell her to me and do all this other stuff. I almost, it's easier for me whenever I start to think about it, because honestly, if you're a teacher and you get this 7-year-old kid who is acting like an animal, first off, you have no frame of reference yourself as to whether she does have mental disability.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
You could be dealing with a deaf, dumb, and blind kid who actually suffers some mental illnesses here, like right. A low, very low IQ or whatever. And so I think the teacher needs to be getting all these awards. If she literally taught her from that.
Right.
To...
Right. And so as far as the conspiracy, though, I think you have to have, you know, with any conspiracy type of thing, you got to have kind of a motive. And I think the general motive from what we've seen is that the teacher basically used her as a puppet
yep.
because of her own political beliefs.
Yes.
And
because they said they were eerily similar.
And then they were identical.
Yeah. According. Whatever Helen Keller said at one of these speeches.
Yes.
Lined up perfectly with what Sullivan had said in private to other people.
Exactly. So they lined up perfectly. And after Sullivan died, she never did anything else.
Yeah, no more speaking.
No more speaking. So, you know, you combine a couple of those things, then you got a straight up, you know, straight, I think a legit question at least.
Because I told Chris, I was like, okay, she's 11 writing books. Just 4 years after learning what water is,
right.
She's writing books, and like she has no, you could read her a fairy tale, and she has no reference of a castle,
no
dragons, anything like that. So, like, you are literally teaching everything and describing it so good that this person can now start having their own fantasies.
Right. I mean, literally, if she and already being busted at plagiarism too at that age or that at that time period. But yeah, I mean, she could know what a castle was. She could have learned the word and learned that it was an ancient dwelling in, you know, certain parts of Europe or whatever.
Bang her hand on rocks and say it's built out of these things.
Yeah, but you still, there's nothing, I mean, she can't see a painting of one or a drawing or a photograph. There, how do you teach something that complex with literally every word in the language?
And now all of a sudden she's learned it so well that she can tell a story that captivates people who can see
yes.
and hear their whole life. Like, your story is good enough that it matches
exactly
my reality.
Exactly. So that I think it's a legitimate question, and I don't know, man. I mean. If I feel bad, like even questioning it,
I do too.
You really do, but when you just think about it, it don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, shit on anybody's legacy. No, I'm
not.
Grave.
No, not at all. But it's just that's just the way it is.
The one guy compared her to Coco the gorilla, and I thought that was a fair comparison.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that a lot of people said that the lady who taught Coco was basically making up shit because she yes. was the translator for Coco.
Right.
Oh, they do this stuff in the hand.
Yeah, for some backstory, it's a gorilla who could supposedly sign.
Yeah, like 2,000 word vocabulary according to the lady who trained her.
According to the lady who trained her, and then she was the only translator, it turns out.
Right.
It was all bullshit.
And the gorilla adopted a cat and named it, a kitten and named it. Right. And actually supposedly scored between 70 and 90 on various IQ tests. That's weird to me.
Yeah, yeah, we know people that don't
have. Right. I mean, so it's like you got to take the word of the lady who's
yes.
interpreting. That's basically what's happening with Helen Keller.
Now, I mean, here's the thing, though. The other side of this, you know, we try to be fair, obviously, because, I mean, I'm not saying I believe one or the other yet. But
me either.
She did go around and speak.
She did.
She spoke a lot without her right beside her. I think I've seen some speeches where she wasn't standing there with her the whole time, right?
Right. I think she gets her to the podium and yeah. then she steps out of the frame.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's right there, but she's obviously speaking on her own. So there's no doubt she learned to speak
and memorize things.
And memorize things, but Does she know really understand the concepts of what she's saying?
I wonder.
Or was she repeating something that she was taught like a parrot, like the guy compared it to a parrot? Was she parroting her beliefs?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I could understand if you said, okay, she's deaf and dumb, and this lady got her to at least be able to sit at a table and eat.
Mm-hmm.
But because now her other senses are heightened, she's an amazing sculptor, but don't talk much. Like, I can get that kind of stuff. Oh, right. She can feel a horse and then sculpt it out of clay. I can get that. But coming up with optimistic quotes and writing books about complex things, to be fair,
I have not read any of probably seen some lines out of a Helen Keller book, probably her autobiography, I'd imagine, if I have. But to be fair, I haven't read any of her books, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. I don't know everything she's written to see what kind of language is in there. But, you know, that's not really something that you can go off of because it's probably heavily edited.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, like any book. I mean, like regular people who are perfectly fine with sight, sound, and all that kind of stuff have their books edited heavily.
Could you get like a forensic document examiner
exactly
to look at some known writing of Ann Sullivan and see if it was close to Helen Keller?
I wonder.
The phrasing and all that.
Exactly. Was that just basically her in her ear?
Yeah.
You know, or she wrote it and attributed it to her or whatever. To basically, I guess the idea was, whatever political motives and stuff she had, regardless of what they were, we're not even talking about that. Just she used Anne as a, you know, savant, whatever she may have. Maybe she is. Maybe that's the other option. But she used her.
She used Helen.
Huh?
You said she used Anne.
Oh,
she
yeah. Helen. Mm-hmm. Used Helen to get her own stuff out there and kind of as she was a proxy.
Yeah. Or is she like a P.T. Barn, a nice? I'm not saying she's not a nice lady to live with Helen Keller for 49 years. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, this is not to imply like, you know.
It's almost like P.T. Barnum-ish wheeling out my freak, you know, right, for you to pay money to listen to it speak. And
yes,
hey, go perform.
The bearded lady you mentioned a couple in your carny days.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, come see the world's most famous blind deaf, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's right.
The sensation you heard about.
That was not too far from that time. Well, that was probably some of the same time periods when that kind of shit was you know, because you think back of those, you think about the old West days when they traveled around and they screamed shit like that. They you know, they sold things off the back of wagons, snake oil and guns and fucking freaks of nature. And you know, I always remember when you said, I forgot, you said you went to one of your corny stories.
Oh, yeah.
And the dude was smoking a cigarette or something.
He was like, got a cigarette. Yeah.
So it makes you question that. I mean, I don't know.
One time I went in to see the world's tiniest lady, and you're like eavesdropping. You're looking. She's watching soap operas. You're walking around this little, you know, walkway, and you look down in there, and there's this tiny little lady just watching TV. And I'm like, well, this is awkward as hell.
Wait a minute, that was the actual seer, or you snuck in?
No, you pay, and that's how it goes. She's just chilling. She
don't
sits
like
in there all
wave
day
or anything.
She might, yeah, she like she glance at you or something, up, yeah.
But she's just like living.
Yeah, you feel like such a voyeur, man. It's awkward.
Yeah, that's weird. But yeah, anyway, so this woman who became, you know, a political activist and author and all this kind of stuff, it just, look, I'm not trying to question somebody's ability or whatever, because, you know, there are savants, but even that's the thing about it. Look, we watched some stuff on savants before.
Absolutely. It's like they have one thing.
But they have one thing, and it's like music, or, you know, I saw one where he remembered everything he ever read, ever, like any book. You could name any book in the whole fucking library or of any library in history.
Yes.
The page number or whatever, and he knew everything. So shit like that, but there's normally not like a complete package, if that makes any sense.
The one dude that can take a helicopter ride over any city and then come back and draw the whole lot.
Stuff like that. They're amazing stories, but they're not like activists or, I don't know, they don't get into politics typically, is what I'm saying.
And honestly, to me, I think she lost the two most crucial senses.
Yes.
To be able to have those kind of thoughts and things like that.
Yeah, because
I don't get it.
Now, like, maybe there's just some weird, there's some misunderstanding that we can't possibly comprehend in a person who was born deaf and blind and all that stuff, you know, because the 19 months, maybe there's something we don't understand. Maybe there was some kind of a few images instilled in our heads, you know, from being, because normally your memories don't start to what, 4 or 5, depending on the person,
right,
for actual memories. But just even a flash of something in her, like that she could picture in her mind. And we think in our own language.
Yeah.
And so,
because I believe in like Ray Charles and people like that who,
You
know,
yeah,
they're blind, but make it through life really well and learn how to master a piano. Well, that makes sense to me.
Right.
That totally makes sense. Like your other senses are heightened. You got this great ear for music. But when you take them both away.
Well, the thing is, you know, I mean, Ray Charles, it's just right there. It's just right there. He can prove it.
Yeah. He can't see the keys, but he can feel them and he can hear music. But when
anybody knows that when you learn, even us regular mortals, unlike Ray Charles, when you learn to type or when you learn to play guitar, you don't have to look at the keyboard and stuff like that. So, yeah, but this is a whole different level.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they said she drove stick, you know? Or ran a touchdown.
You said earlier. I'm sorry. If you want to repeat, I mean,
well, I just said, you know,
it's funny as hell. I'm sorry.
I said, what if the Ann Sullivan had to go, you know, to a doctor or something, and was like, hey, get her nephew to go spend time and babysit.
Yeah, hey, go hang out with Aunt Helen. Right, I got to go to the doctor.
But what they want to tell you is that she's in there crocheting this damn tapestry of a peacock.
You know? I know. Jesus. Peacock was so random.
I was trying to think of something colorful.
I know. I got you.
Something
complex.
Yeah, something she has never seen. Can't really, I don't know.
Can't picture and can't, yeah, I mean.
Because I told Chris, I said, you know, like the concept of wind, she doesn't know if there's a fan blowing, if somebody's like literally blowing on her, if it's wings of a bird flapping, you know what I mean? Or actual wind outside, because she can't hear. Are there leaves rustling?
Yeah, right. She can't hear the difference.
She feels something on her
skin. Just knows there's different feel to each of those, but the sound is what, you know, makes it.
It cues you in on things, and she has no ability to, no concept of anything.
Or, you know, not to spin it up in another direction necessarily, but why not? What if she did slightly have, you know, a little bit of hearing? That's the other side. I don't know if people are arguing that.
I don't know either.
Some people actually are, because there was another couple of videos that I came across that saying, oh, yeah, we even watched the South Park little clip about it, making fun of it.
Hilarious.
And she was in there completely fine and normal. When the teacher came around, she started acting.
She's like,
yeah, exactly. So there was a South Park clip of making fun. So there's something to this. It's been going on a while, I guess, this conspiracy theory. But maybe there is something to where she was like, you know, maybe she did have partial hearing, or, you know, how some people are legally blind.
Yes.
But they can still see, or people that are worse off than legally blind, because I know that's still fairly, you can still pretty much see.
Right.
But some people can just see like light and dark. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, if you get beyond that, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You know, Keith, my mom's ex-boyfriend, his brother Bird, they all say he's blind. And I've been over there before and the TV's on, and it'd be like he'd read writing across the bottom of the screen, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Is he got a Braille guide with her?
This sucker is blind, and You know, because they'd say, well, he's not all the way blind, but he can just barely see the outline of you and stuff. But then he started reading little numbers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people milk things like that.
They do. I mean, there's no question about it.
Like the guy that was supposed to be a stutterer on Who's Got Talent or America's Got Talent or something. He was like a stuttering, the guy singing cowboy or something.
Yeah, the guy that was stuttered, then he sang so fucking awesome.
Yeah, and
don't
then they
tell
found
me.
Out that he was faking his stutter.
Oh, you just
to get a sympathy.
Oh,
yes, man. Yeah, that was a big thing.
See, I remember the dude. I remember the song. Thinking, oh my, that's one of those teary-eyed things you watch before you go to bed on Facebook.
Yeah, because he could not talk without stuttering, and then he sang so well, and then he got busted.
Oh Jesus, man.
So that's. We know that happens.
And that's why there's these conspiracy theories, because in the modern world where we have video and, you know, Google at our fingertips and all that stuff, you couldn't, it was a lot easier to bullshit people back in 1900,
right.
1920,
it
whatever.
It really was.
There's, and I mean, you really can't disprove anything, I guess.
Yeah.
If they say she wrote the book, you didn't see what happened. You just saw, I mean, it was published. Even the publishers can't prove it.
And honestly, there's a lot of people who vouch for and stuff. So I'm not calling everybody liars. All I'm trying to do is say, hey, this made me think too.
That's all. You know? That's all I'm saying.
When you start thinking of deep things about you not being able to see or hear your whole life and learn complex things. I understand learning simple things. That is, I'm not lost on that at all. If you've got a blind and deaf uncle who can, you know, walk the dog, I mean, you know, I get it. But, you know, writing books about things, I don't know, man.
With complex ideas and imagery and like those words, like that word. I mean, you can't describe that. Like, it's hard for me to describe that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, I mean, but it's all, you know, the other side of that is we don't know. It's weird though, because she writes this book about, like you said, what it's like to be me, but is she really describing that to where it makes
sense?
I'd
like to look at some excerpts,
you know. And so we don't know what's going on inside her head, you know. But it's for it not to be repeated is the thing,
and for them to really
to my
make,
knowledge
emphasize how hard it was on this teacher in the beginning to get her to use a spoon.
Right.
And to make leaps and bounds from that to 4 years later, a published book.
Yeah, because even the water thing, I get that moment.
Yeah, that's...
But that... What translated... I wanted to know the story after that.
Me too.
You know, and I know there's more of that movie.
Yeah.
But it's just a movie written off somebody's history,
mm-hmm.
whether it's real or not. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just, this is all this was.
Wouldn't
was
be the first time somebody's history was exaggerated.
Oh, absolutely not. No, everybody's is.
Mm-hmm.
Every big time, whether it's a role model or a big figure in history, they're all exaggerated.
Yeah.
History is written
some
by the
war
winners.
Heroes have been busted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's, I don't know, man. It's hard to imagine learning beyond, like you said, some of the basic stuff. Maybe a little more complex but what system, you know what I mean? What did that water spark, the water thing that made her think, okay, wait a minute, I got water now. It's not the cup you're talking about. It's the stuff in it.
Yeah.
And so where do you go from there?
Right.
And then
you put her in a barrel and send her over in Niagara Falls.
Waterfall. I mean,
honestly,
you could probably sit there and think about it and get creative for you know, bigger concepts,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But at some point, you love.
It's crazy, man.
How do you teach that? I mean, she can feel that. Well, there's no doubt she can feel attraction and love because that's a feeling. But how does that trans? You know what I'm saying? How do you teach the word?
I know.
How can she associate what she's feeling, which is a real feeling, and give her a word for it? Because she can't tell you what she's feeling.
Right.
That's what she can't. Yes.
And what, honestly, like you said, she wanted to elope with that dude?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I can't see you. I can't hear your voice. I can smell your cologne.
I can feel your face.
I can feel your face and you touch my hand.
Right.
What makes me fall in love with you? And that's not for me to judge. I'm just saying. When you start thinking, what was it about his touch? What was it about his smell?
He was Axe body spray.
That does it every time.
Because I know when I use Axe.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been around somebody who lost their hearing later in life?
I don't think fully deaf, but definitely hard of hearing.
Okay.
People, but not fully deaf. But I've always wanted to learn sign language, by the way.
I've learned basic letters, but not the full
language.
But
I can still go, spell my name and shit.
Yes, that was the extent of mine.
Yeah, some letters.
I knew a lady who went deaf in like her 30s from a disease.
Right.
Okay. Spoke normally, lost her hearing, spoke like...
Yeah.
Well, it's like the speech goes away.
Yes.
There's something about being able to hear yourself in your own head.
Right.
So then all of a sudden she started speaking like a normal deaf person, which is weird to me. Like if you've been able to speak your whole life normally, you wouldn't think it would affect you that bad. But it got really weird sounding.
It probably started is still normal and then went down, deteriorated.
Yes.
I'd imagine.
And then, so now Helen Keller has never heard herself
ever
in her head, so she's like feeling the vibration of somebody else's and mimicking those vibrations is what she's doing.
Yeah, with the combination of the lips
and feeling the wind go over the fingers, she said, when I said certain things.
Yeah, if people have seen, watching this, Star Trek, think about Spock doing a Vulcan mind meld. That's what it is. Like, he's got his finger in a certain spot.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to make fun of
it. Intentionally different spots that she was using.
It was a nostril, a lip, the throat, and then she mentioned the breath or something, I guess, her nose, under her nose, I guess.
So how long do you have to sit like this to explain the whole cosmos to her?
Right.
Because she's writing books at 11, 21. I know they were together 49 years, but it ain't like the books came out after you spent 40 years explaining everything.
Yeah, it was during the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very early in the process.
I'm learning words.
Of course, the first book is explained. She stole it.
Okay, so.
Now, whether Helen Keller herself did or not is the question, though, right?
Because they're saying it's like similar to that when like a songwriter writes a song and don't remember hearing the song that they pulled. So they're saying it actually went to court, I believe, and the judge ruled that it was accidental. But so the thing is, you said this downstairs. We could be dealing with just an absolute genius.
That
is a possibility.
Yeah, sure.
There's like, she's a dumb, I hate saying that word dumb. I always have my whole life saying dumb.
Oh, I know, but it's...
A deaf and blind person and who just happened to be born with one of those brains.
Yeah.
Just one of those Alzheimer's, I don't know.
It's one of the options.
It's just, I thought it was neat that these people made me stop and think about something I've never thought about.
Yeah, because I mean,
think deep.
Like we said, you just kind of, it's like, it makes you start to question other things.
It does.
Because you learn this in whatever grade you were in, and you learn this name, and you learn some accomplishments, and it's all great, and you kind of just put it behind you and move on. And you don't think anything about it. But then... you come across a random YouTube video or whatever it was, and now it's like, did she though?
Right.
Because
we question a lot simpler stuff than that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a pretty complex thing.
It really is way more complex.
Because it's such a fascinating story. Just a surface level, girl born 19 months old, loses her sight and sound, and therefore never learns to speak. And then she grows up to change the world in big ways. It's a great story.
It's a wonderful story.
Political activist and books and, speaker and founder of this and that and all this kind of stuff. But was it her? I think it's a fair question.
I do too.
And it's not trying to take away from any, potential accomplishments or whatever.
Right.
Or any of those things that actually happened. But it's just, I think it's a fair question to ask.
I do too. And for her to live so recently blew my mind. You know, halfway through 1968. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
I mean, yeah, well, I was born 7 years after she died.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a trip, man. But. So I just think before she died, I'm sure nobody was feeling like questioning her then because she's an older lady.
Right.
Already accomplished.
Because we're not trying to shit on anybody.
No.
It's just a legitimate question.
Right.
And there's whole podcasts out there that do conspiracy theories only, and this is one of them.
Because we've talked about, you and I have talked about these people who, remember how Houdini, after he got, wasn't Houdini, he went after people who were psychics and stuff, and he could prove how they were making stuff move and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. Well, him, and then we did the podcast on Randy, the amazing Randy.
Yes.
We did that whole podcast.
This seems like something Randy... would try to debunk
that is true.
Because
we hadn't looked, you know, and we're to be fair, we haven't looked beyond just some, you know, other podcasters and YouTube
surface
videos,
level
surface level stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't know how much more you need, but I would like to. That'd be interesting to see somebody like put a full-fledged investigation like the backgrounds and the process of however they did everything and I think like you said in near the beginning when she walked her out to the barn, I got to teach her alone. That's suspect.
Yeah.
That's kind of sus right there, man.
Right.
And like the beginning of this relationship.
Now, you sell it to the parents as, you need a break.
Yeah.
She's wild.
Yeah. I'll take care of her.
If I get her out there by myself, she won't be focused on y'all. I mean, you can sell
that. Easy.
And I'm not saying she went into it with, you know, these dreams of getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom one day.
Right.
But it's... You know, I don't know. I feel like if you ever heard Helen Keller talk, okay.
Yeah. We watched a few of those.
Yeah. If you've heard her talk, then you realize that the translator is really important.
Yes.
So if she's getting interviewed and the translator says, she's like, thank you very much for having us here. I'm delighted. You know what I mean?
Right. It's almost like Chinese subtitles.
Yeah.
And movies. You know, the whole page is filled up at the bottom, and it's like, thank you.
Yes.
That's an exaggeration, obviously, but you know what I'm saying.
When things happen like that, you got to at least think about it.
Yeah, because I've watched a few of her, some clips of her speeches and short
It's hard talks. To understand.
And some things you can understand fairly easily, but other things, you're right, you can't.
Yeah, single-syllable words are easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, I mean, we watched the video where she's literally repeating from fulfilling the girl's face,
mm-hmm.
and she repeats the word, and you can clearly hear it's the word.
Yep.
But I don't know, man. It's crazy. And it almost
But they're saying stuff like, the... You know,
dog.
So it's like, okay, that's cool. Water, you know, that's a big one.
Right.
Water is a big one,
right?
And I wonder, and it made a living for Sullivan. She never had to get another student.
That's true.
She had one student.
That is true.
And maybe one job her whole life.
And that's the other side of it too. Just to throw this out here real quick is, if it was some kind of success by proxy through mm-hmm. Helen Keller. Why didn't she just do it herself? Because, like you said, cash cow.
Yeah, she didn't have
She knew that it would be a big... She didn't have the story. She was
partially blind, but that's not as amazing.
It's not as amazing. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, plus, I don't know.
Helen Keller, I heard it at least 10 times, Helen Keller came from money.
Yeah. No,
so
no doubt.
She might have saw a chance to, drain their pockets.
It might have started with something as simple as like, oh, I can just make some good money
off
here.
Of these people.
Exactly.
Yep. And show her a few tricks. I'll be out of there in a few months with a lot of extra money.
And then all of a sudden somebody noticed something, or the first little thing came out about some successful breakthrough. Maybe the water thing was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I can get attention now. Oh, now I can kind of use her in some way. I don't know. That's just because
they
that's
were
just
so impressed when she came and had dinner. When they came from the cabin and had dinner with the parents, and the mom just went on and on about her sitting there eating with silverware.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they were like, oh, you need to get a bonus for this.
Oh, yeah, sold. Mm-hmm. You know, you're here. Are you available forever?
Meanwhile, you know? She's out there beating her with a whip. Damn.
God damn.
You never know. Like a circus animal. Motherfucker, you hold this spoon.
You got a cigarette.
Jesus. Poor Helen.
I know, man. I mean, I don't know. I need to dig a little deeper and see if there's any like serious, you know, books about it, or maybe people who can, you know, study the actual history of it. Because I almost feel bad talking about it.
No, I do too. When you search for videos like this, other ones come up suggested. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We were duped. We saw a blind football player.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Went on Ellen.
Absolutely.
They showed the clip of him scoring a touchdown. He was the quarterback. They sold us on this whole awesome story.
Right.
We went and found the actual video.
Obviously, a smart kid.
Right. He's played, wonderful.
We thought at first it was a running back, and then he said quarterback, and he said my job is to go out there and get everybody ready and all that kind of stuff. And he said he lined up in the Wildcat formation. And Ellen kept replaying this clip, and it was just him running an open field.
After he got past the two lines.
Yeah, the line of scrimmage. So he was like just basically open field ahead. You know, you could see the end zone.
Yep.
Like, go look it up.
We found the actual
– found the full play.
Yeah, because we wanted to see him call the play. That's what we kept saying.
Yes.
We want to see him run the huddle and then go get under center and all this or whatever. And – It was a setup. They were winning 48-0. They brought him in with 3 minutes to go and ran this play. The other team did nothing but walk
and
away
clap.
And clap.
They backed up.
Now, still, like we said down there, still a fantastic story. If that was my son
and he
got in there and got to score a touchdown in high school football, that would be awesome, and I'd be so proud.
Yeah, and the other team
they sold it to us.
Yeah, they sold it on Ellen. This shows you, and she's in trouble too, by the way, about all kinds of shit. But it shows you,
when your heart gets involved,
exactly,
and emotions,
it pulls on the heartstring because it's a great story, and then you find out that, you know, Ellen, we found the YouTube clip in 30 seconds of the full play.
Yeah.
So Ellen sold it as this thing, brought him on there, gave him $10,000 for college, and paid for something else.
I can't remember.
So was Ellen doing it for the kid?
Thank you. That's a good point.
No, she was not doing it for the fucking kid. Because she knew the full context
of
the story.
Yeah, you'd have to.
She knew they let the kid score a touchdown. And you can just help out the kid, but do it privately.
Yeah.
But she wanted it on camera.
Right.
And that shows you the type of person she probably is. And now this is all coming out.
It was like I said, it was a great moment for that kid. Great sportsmanship on both sides to go, okay, we're losing 48-0. Run your play. I know his story. I saw it in the paper. That's what the other coach is saying.
Yeah.
I saw his story in the paper. Yeah, get him in there. Let him, guys, don't, you just get out of the way.
And that's an upstanding
awesome
thing
story.
To do.
Yes.
And
that's great.
But for them to exploit that kid, because he, like, I don't know what he knew.
I know.
The only thing he said was he was the quarterback, and he kind of, they portrayed
he
it
was
as he
funny.
Played a lot.
He had a great personality.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was a smart kid.
Yeah.
But the point was that wasn't real at all.
And so imagine going back to the 1920s, the 1930s,
where you can't look that up.
Yes.
You can't look up the videos or speeches or whatever it may be,
right.
Especially the process of writing a book.
Yeah.
Or 11 of them.
If you're Lyndon Johnson and you got like 20 minutes because you're so busy to have this lady come in, and she's coming in with her sidekick, and the sidekick's really doing all the talking.
Right.
It's a great moment for you to give him a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
And he's going to get the credit and the photo op and you know how fucking
I don't
Johnson.
Know. I'm not trying to sound all jaded and stuff, but we've had the wool pulled over our eyes all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Which
is what
James Randi is good for. I'm glad you brought his name up.
Yeah, that's why that's the kind of thing that was so interesting to me about James Randi. Not only did I play around with magic in my younger days, but it just the idea, the concept of it. Of him busting people that are fucking rip people off.
Yeah.
Like these psychics that steal people's money, pulling on their heartstrings, trying to talk to, you know, dead loved ones.
Yes.
I can't stand that shit, and he dedicated his life to it.
And
I think that's noble.
The one guy trying to, like, pawn off, like, this isn't a trick. I really have powers, mystical powers, and I can turn these phone book pages.
Oh, my God.
You know, and he had people believe in it. And Randy's like, okay, it's time, you know, people shouldn't be sold this false bill of goods.
No, it was all bullshit, and it was ripping people off and playing on their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like Penn and Teller with, as far as magicians in these days, modern times, is they're the same way. They call out all that bullshit.
Yes.
But yeah. Anyway, I guess.
Tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, tell us your thoughts in the comments. Have you heard of this theory or this conspiracy theory? Is it something you thought about? Are we just completely wrong? And she was just a savant.
Yeah, because that is an option. We're saying
I'm not saying I believe it either way.
I'm just saying it's hard to believe, and I never had thought about it before.
Have not. Not so, one time. Other than when we found it. That's it.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll be driving home tonight and think of something else. Like, I wonder how she figured this out. Yeah, right. You know, it's because if you really stop and think about it, it's hard to do anything in that
situation.
It's
not just the, because that's what really opened my eyes to thinking deeper was the word. Like, something beyond, like, you know, simple objects was concepts or things. You know, you can't, I could just be the stupid one.
True. I know what you mean, dude. I feel that way too. I got that weird feeling, like, you know, if I watched more, I'd be like, oh, it makes sense.
Yeah, and
now.
But that's what I want to know. Like, what was their process? That's what I need to know and look that up. But I bet we can't find anything on it.
Probably not.
Anyway, I guess we're good.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah, so interesting story at least. It begs the question, but you can look up some videos. But let us know what you think in the comments below. Please subscribe on the YouTube channel, and if you listen on, let's see if I can remember this shit.
You got another one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that. Spotify, Podbean, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, and now iHeartRadio.
That's awesome.
I need to check our page on there. We got accepted iHeartRadio, but leave us a rating on there. That would help us out a lot. And we thought about this. Let me mention it real quick. We're going to do maybe throw in another segment on here occasionally. If you can, you know, if people want to leave us comment or questions in the comments on YouTube, we can like do a segment at the end of each one, regardless of the topic.
Yes, that's a great idea.
It could be about anything. It could be about a previous podcast or a personal or whatever. And we'll just do a couple questions at the end of each one.
I love that idea.
Every once in a while, if we get a lot, we'll make it a whole thing.
Make a whole one.
Yeah, that's so do that.
That's a great idea.
Do that. We should have said that in the beginning because they won't get this far. But anyway. Anyway, we'll see. We're going to finish Game of Thrones.
That's right. One
episode more. Six. One more we got.
Yeah.
So we'll get that out here in the next couple weeks.
Yep.
I guess we'll. I don't want to promise, but
I'm good with that.
We'll try to.
Yeah, because we got it really lined up good right now. Cool.
Yeah, they seem to enjoy the last one. We'll try to wrap it up the right way, unlike HBO. Anyway, I guess we're good, and we'll let it fade to black. Did you just sign fucking
I did something.